podcast.
Are we rolling?
Yeah, you're rolling.
Are we? Is this thing on?
Is this thing on?
Yeah, oh, you guys are on. You guys are rolling.
The Comedy Store would like you to know that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are strictly those of the speakers or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by the Comedy Store and its affiliates.
Guys, welcome to the Comedy Store podcast. I'm Eleanor Kerrigan.
I'm Rick Ingram.
Yes, and we have the great Mike Duffy with us today.
What?
Mike Duffy. It makes you sound like a magician.
Oh, does it?
The great Mike Duffy.
The great Mike. Did you win AGT like as a magician?
Just kidding. I did, actually. That's my claim to fame.
I feel like that magician's going to win it. Did you see any of it?
Don't magicians win every year?
I feel like they do.
It's for like a Vegas show, right? It better be a magician.
Well, we could do comedy, too.
No one.
Well, everybody wants to see Vicky in that bathing suit again, no?
No question about that.
Do you know Vicky Barbalek? Did you ever meet? Wow.
America's in love with Lou, just smiling off to the side.
Lou Deck, our piano player from the Comedy Store, is married. Yeah. What's Lou's last name? We call him Lou Barbalek.
Yeah. Lou Brockton.
Brockton, that's it.
Yeah.
It's a strong name.
But he's been there for 25 years. And then he married one of the comics, Vicky Barbalek.
Oh my God.
She was on one of the finalists on America's Got Talent. But they had him playing piano on NBC. It was like a big, you know.
He was all excited.
I played an original. They were happy because they don't got to pay for it, man.
you said it, Lou. He could sing the classic rock songs that he jams out because they're so far from the actual version.
Oh, yeah.
You can just count it.
just butchering 80s songs.
And 60s, 70s. It doesn't even matter. Come on, baby, there's some fires.
That's not the words at all. Really.
It's close enough.
Well, I mean, you know, it's if his aspirations were to be playing, you know, piano for comedians,
right?
Yeah, maybe he's reached the pinnacle.
This is
everything for
that's
other
true.
Than AGT.
Yeah, now he's been on NBC. He's got bigger credits than most of the comics that he's playing for.
True.
So that's pretty embarrassing for all of us.
Wow.
Thanks.
25 years at the store, and he married one of the comics. That's
I know
amazing.
It.
Amazing.
Yeah. One of the best. Yeah, she's like a trailer living, trailer trash, amazing woman.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and proud of it. That's the best part.
Trailer nasty? Is that what she calls herself? Trailer nasty?
I don't. Honestly, I couldn't tell you.
I feel like you follow it religiously. That's not real.
If it's on television, I missed it. That's the best way of looking at
Fair
it.
Enough.
And if they turn
like
it
the
in,
rest of America.
Yeah. If they turn it into a viral video, I purposefully missed it then.
All right. That's amazing.
You know, everyone should still go
especially
vote
for viral videos. Yeah, I never watch those. They're
nothing
like, you gotta see
angrier.
This video.
Everything's viral now, though. Every time somebody sends me a thing, it goes, it went viral. I'm like, what the fuck does that, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's got like 3,000 views. You're like,
exactly.
What's the criteria?
What constitutes viral? Yeah, like way more than 3,000.
I think it has to be at least a million to call it truly viral. Right?
I was going
to
say, I have a few viral videos.
Yeah, right.
3,000 is killer.
Yeah, I mean, it's out of control.
I'll send you all my viral videos.
I'm excited.
You've sent me other things virally before.
I have?
We never hooked up, though, did we?
That's so weird. Did we? I couldn't. No. I don't think we could. I'm going to tell you why. I grew up with Duffies. And one of them was Mike Duffy.
Yeah,
and
I've
he
heard
was
you
my
talk
age.
About these
yeah.
Duffies. How many?
There's 11 of them.
11. Jesus.
There's 11 of them.
Duffies.
The Good Duffies, Lord. The Gallaghers, and the Kerrigans.
They're the only ones who outnumbered the Kerrigans.
And the Gallaghers were 11
how many
as well.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Yeah. So
was there a lot of cross pollination in these families?
No, we didn't. Irish on Irish. That's not good.
Irish on Irish.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that.
You need to weed out the red hair.
Yeah, there's no pigment.
That's like a purebred dog. There's going to be heart issues.
Yeah,
stuff.
They're born with skin cancer. It's uncomfortable. You don't want to do it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the Duffies, the Gallaghers were the ones. Like there was one Gallagher I was attracted to.
Hmm.
His name was Franny. He was cute.
Franny Gallagher. Isn't that the baby's name on Shameless?
So masculine.
Yeah, the daughter. Yeah, that's her daughter. Yep.
Franny Gallagher.
Wow, I didn't even think of that. But she doesn't get the Gallagher last name because that guy, she would get the husband's last name.
I don't know.
Do you watch Shameless?
I've seen a few episodes. You know,
that's it? Oh, yeah. I'm obsessed with it.
I know. My subscription ran out and my wife was like, can we not renew it? I'm like, well, I don't. It's like $7.
Yeah.
I have kids, though, and it's you have kids, right?
I have a two-year-old.
Yeah, you're like stay-at-home dad now, too?
I certainly am.
Dude. So Mr.
That's
Mom,
why
that's
I almost
Mr.
died
Mom.
On my way here. Just
what?
Fall asleep driving.
Oh, you're kidding.
It's tough, man. I sleep like 3 hours a night.
Oh, wait, so you're getting up with the kid, too? You're stay-at-home dad all day, and then you get up with the kid at night?
Well, she mostly sleeps through the night, but I can't fall asleep until like 1 or 2 in the morning.
Oh, I see.
And then she gets up at 6, and I'm up with her.
That's a natural.
She doesn't nap. She no longer naps, so
she
I don't
no
get
longer
that.
Naps?
No, refuses.
Yeah, that happens.
So
it's a cognitive burst, you know that? It's called a cognitive burst.
Really? Okay.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't
read
me
when
books.
I was like 25, but it only happens to like toddlers normally. I never had my growth spurt, so my cognitive burst when I was 25
Stop
was great
it.
And it was welcome.
And you're a twin.
I'm a twin, yeah.
That's so gross.
Yeah, my twin is my business partner.
I know, I love it.
Yeah.
So now he didn't do stand-up, but you
no.
did stand-up.
Right.
All right.
Hey guys, we got to take a minute so we can get a word in from our sponsor.
ForHims.com.
I bet you're sick and tired of being a bald loser sitting around with a half-hard penis.
That's right, guys. Half-hard penises are not fun to ride.
I can tell you for a fact, no one is looking for someone with those kind of stats.
No, you don't need that in your life. And why do it?
That's why you got to go get yourself some ForHims, because not only is it going to keep your hair flowing like Fabio riding a horse on a windy day.
And I'll be riding you if you have that Fabio.
That's the truth.
Dick, long-haired.
And even if you're completely bald, the dick is going to be so rock solid that
How's
a woman will see, I mean, rock hard.
Oh, okay, I just want to make sure.
She'll see you with a full head of hair.
She'll see you with a full head of hair. Like, here's the thing. You guys, we've talked about this a million times. Why wait? There is things out there you can go to for hims.com. They have solutions,
yeah.
Right? This is optional now.
You don't want to go sit in a creepy doctor's office with a bunch of other creepy dudes knowing that you're part of the noodle gang.
Right. Like everybody knows what you're doing. Like, what are you in for? No, you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Go to forhims.com. They have everything for men's wellness. Everything you need.
Yeah, and it's affordable, which is by far the best part.
Absolutely affordable. That is the big thing. But our listeners, Rick, this is very exciting. If they order now, the Comedy Store listeners get a trial month for just $5.
That's not bad.
Right now, while supplies last. So if you go to the website and you can see the full details, this, in all honesty, this would cost you hundreds and hundreds of dollars if
easily.
You went to a doctor or a pharmacy. So it's stupid. Go to forhims.com/TCS. That's forhims.com/TCS to get rid of that noodle dick and no hair.
Yep.
Don't put that dirty, sweaty cap over that bald spot. Figure it the fuck out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take care of yourself and take care of the parts that make you
a
man.
I do all kinds of weird shit to myself to look good. Just talking about my hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible hair.
ForHims.com.
That's the secret. You're doing it right.
Yes. That's what you have to do. All right. Seriously, guys, go to ForHims.com/TCS right now. $5 while supplies last for Comedy Store listeners. Thank you so much.
Yep.
So when you came to did you start in Philly as a?
So I started at Penn State.
Wow.
I used to. It wasn't,
not going
to
ask any questions, but go ahead.
No, I was not deedled. No, but I grew up in the Catholic Church, so I got my fair share.
Fair share. There you go. Yeah. You got felt up a few times.
Yeah, so it was good. That was the sort of like part of the prerequisite of going to Penn State.
Very
Are you
excited?
Cool with this? I mean, yeah, I turned out all right.
Kid fucking, how do you feel about
yeah,
it?
How do you
I'm
feel?
Catholic. Great.
Let's talk about your GPA and rape. I used to like introduce bands and stuff. I lived in some pretty big like houses where we threw parties all the time, and I kind of emceed those events, and I would, you know, I just kind of liked it and felt like, oh, you know what, this feels like I could, you know, turn this into something. And I grew up in theater, and I always knew I was going to come out to LA. So when I moved out here in 99, I actually came out here as an actor, and I'd never done any screen acting. So I would go in and I would audition like I was auditioning in a theater.
Yeah.
I would project to the back of the room.
Yeah, it's a different.
Like, can you just not, can you bring it down a lot?
And can you
down
leave?
A lot.
Like, you're just not, we're done here.
A pinch passed all the way. Is that possible?
Yeah, it was, I was not good. And So I was like, oh, you know what the problem is? It's not me. It's that I don't have a live audience. So I started, you know, grabbing stage time. My first show was at Mixed Nuts, which is the Comedy Union now.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, I forgot it was called Mixed Nuts.
Yeah. And Mitchell and that whole...
Yeah, you don't have to bring him up. He used to be a manager here. He's a piece of shit.
Okay.
Sorry. Cool. I don't usually shit on other comedy clubs, but...
No, that's all right.
Comedy owners.
Was that the one that had weird room with a tree in the middle of it?
I don't know. Was it?
It's like down on Pico or...
Yeah, Pico, like...
It's gone by the Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
Yes, yeah. Yes,
there's
is
like
over
a
there.
Courtyard.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. A little court weird
that's
thing.
That's like their green room.
Yeah.
Because it has a tree in it.
Yeah.
So you performed at Mixed Nuts too?
The only time I ever did a Montreal showcase was there.
Wow.
And Tripoli's ex-girlfriend, the Canadian one, she got deported. I can't think
God.
What her name
Wasn't
is.
Wasn't she lucky?
But she hosted the thing, and there was three people in the crowd. And she just kept going up there with like high energy. And I'm just like,
that's amazing.
These three people hate your guts. And the lady sitting in the back, who was like the Montreal person, just sat there with this concerned look.
Was
on
it
her face
Rachel, long blonde hair?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
This would have been 2005, maybe.
Oh, okay.
And so I went up and just, I mean, crushed for three people.
Nice.
And they told me don't do crowd work and all that, or whatever.
Well, there's three people.
Like, there's three
people,
people
a crowd. I mean, technically it is, right?
I think
so
I did,
how's that go?
I had to do 5 minutes, so I gave everyone 1:20, just really focused it. But I watched like four comics go up in front of me, just doing their shtick to silence. I was just like,
fuck
even
that.
If I did jokes and crush, no one is gonna qualify from this. So I went up and just talked to them, and it was fun. And then I got off stage, and the lady was like, you can't do crowd work. I'm like, gives a fuck. We're in a comedy club with a tree.
Way,
yeah.
This is for me now, bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Needless to say, Rick didn't go to Montreal.
Okay.
Yeah, 13 years. They never even let me showcase again.
Are you kidding?
I never have.
Wow.
Every year I see the people they pick, and I'm like, I'm definitely better than those people, but...
Well, you're a crowd work comic, Rick.
Yeah, exactly right.
You've established yourself as that now.
It's too late now.
That's it.
It's a life sentence.
You can't go back. That's great.
What about Rick Ingram?
Nah.
No, you should have been at the Comedy Union in 05. It was not good. He violated all the rules.
Yeah.
It was a hot night, and he ruined that crowd.
Yeah, it was three people. It was we could have kept going all night, but no.
I just remember... standing in the room with the tree or whatever it was and just being like, man, this sucks. And then out of the shadows, Yorcy lurked up.
Always
like,
great.
Hey, he's like, hey, good set, man. I'm like, where the fuck did you come from? He's like, I've been hanging out all night. I'm like, I got to get out of this fucking place.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Was a fucking...
I remember the name. I don't think I've ever been, though.
Man, I did a show there. It was my first ever stand-up show, and it was... I brought all my friends, like all comics do. And,
yeah.
You have friends.
And they were nice
That's
and
impressive.
Generous, and they laughed, and I had a false sense of security. And then every time I went back to that club, I ate shit so hard. I mean, it was like until one night I would go back because I was a glutton for punishment and because I knew that if I could turn that room that I was doing a little something right. And I learned a lot doing that room. And it prepared me to pitch for a living. I'm a producer. I make TV shows, and I pitch all day, every fucking day. So
pitching's hard.
It's hard, yeah. And you're going into a room that's like, "Fuck you,
right.
Make me laugh." That is the mixed nuts crowd. That is the Comedy Union crowd. So one night I go in, and I knew I was nervous about it. It was a rough night anyway. The energy was really fucked up this one night, and right. As they announce me, put your hands together for Mike Duffy, a fight breaks out at the foot of the stage.
Okay.
And the ends comes out and literally drags a woman. He's dragging her out of the club. As she's going out, she throws a fucking bottle at me. It smashes on the wall behind me. Everyone gets up and they're off to the sides of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes her out and he throws her out the front door and locks the door. And she's banging on the door. And they're all looking at me like, all right, motherfucker, let's do this.
Show goes on.
Yeah. So I'm like,
she's gone. Let's see what you got.
Let's see what you got.
Motherfucker.
So I try to go in and like, so I'm a twin from Philadelphia. And they're like, oh, you. Like one dude literally goes, fuck you. I'm like, Guys, you have to give me some love for once. This bitch just threw a bottle at me. I'm trying to get the room back. And I just started getting real with them. And they're like, okay, he's talking. Yeah, he's real now.
I see this.
And
this isn't shtick.
I start and I go, here's the deal. I have 6 minutes left by my watch.
I don't give
a fuck if you like me or not. I will sit here. And I literally sat Indian style on the stage, sat down and did my set. And by the end of the set, it was the best show I ever had there.
It was like a white protester early
on. It was. It was definitely White Lives Matter. It was awesome. And I you know, this lady comes up to me after the show, and she goes, I got to tell you, I was nervous. It was awkward. Like, I thought you were going to get injured. But she goes, turned it, and you were my favorite comic of the night. No, what? She's a black lady.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Black ladies like me.
I like that she said, I thought you were going to get injured. Like, yeah, that's amazing.
She was fearful for me. She felt
what was going on in the room. She's like, this isn't going to be
well
good.
Any set that starts with you ducking a bottle being thrown at your head,
always fun.
Yeah.
and then going into comedy character guy.
Yeah, exactly.
So hey,
I love, so I'm a twin.
Yeah, who likes cheese steaks?
He's the same voice I use when I describe my early comedy. I'm like, it was like Last Comic Standing comedy.
Oh. It's like, well, I'm Irish and Swedish, so.
Just like, there's comedy 101.
Yeah, it's the worst. So you went from there. How did you get to the Comedy Store?
So Steve Simone, Philly guy.
Great. Are you a Delco guy? Are you
I'm a
suburb?
Monaco guy.
Well, oh, okay.
So I'm in Bala Cynwyd, which is, you know, right on City Line Avenue.
Yeah.
So
my niece went to Monaco Community College.
Harvard on the Highway. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Harvard on the Highway.
Always funny. Because she was like, oh, I'm at Monaco. I'm like, is that a college? Like, I'm thinking of all the basketball teams.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's Monaco? And then she's like, Montgomery County. I'm like, don't try to make that cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also the state hospital.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they there's I think an insane asylum called Monaco.
Right.
And I never understood why people who went there referred to it as the same thing that all of those other things are referred to as. I'm like, you should really.
It's good company. When you're in good company, you just go, hey, any association.
I think
here is...
Harvard on the Highway is way
brilliant.
Better.
Yeah, definitely.
Way better.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so Simone. He had just come out here. He had won some contest in Philly.
With Pauly, right?
With Pauly, yeah.
Yeah, and like
Pauly was the judge, I think.
Was he?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like the funniest guy in Philly or something, as, you know, determined by one club.
Pauly Shore from LA.
by audience clapping.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was a scientific
All his friends
method.
From Delco came, and then
exactly.
He was the funniest guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, this guy hails from Harvard on the Highway. Put your hands together for Steve Simone.
Guys.
He was...
Do it again.
He became like a manager.
Oh, yeah. Well, they made him be a manager here. And when we found out he wanted to be a comic, we were like, no. You don't want to be a manager.
Yeah.
That's a kiss of death. And he was like, oh, I need the money, you know. And he did it for a little bit. But I've never seen anybody. Steve can be miserable when he wants to, but I've never seen anybody that miserable.
Yeah.
Like, I'd walk in the office and he'd be listening to like easy 101, like sad music. And I go, what are you doing? He goes, thinking about killing myself.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right, can I get some change?
Good stuff. I got a six top.
He's like, I got to get out of here.
I'm going to move back to Philly, open
guy.
A sandwich shop.
Yeah. Fucking big fish in that pond. Who the fuck am I now?
But thank God he got out of that.
Oh my God.
Managing and got back really doing his stand up.
Yeah, I was, he was telling me, I talked to him today and I said, how did I get, this was 2001. I mean,
okay.
I showcased for Mitzi with Rick Ramos.
I love that.
April of 2001.
Ramos, did he laugh a lot?
No.
That's our favorite.
I'm a teacher. We were on, it was like me and like Jason Lucas and
J-Lu.
I don't know who was like part of that night, but like the folks that were working here at the time were you know, coming up were like Ari Shaffir and Duncan and Rogan had just gotten out of News Radio and was like, it was pre-Fear Factor and all that stuff.
Right.
So he was like the rich guy before he was all jacked up.
Right.
He had hair and stuff. And
he wasn't
hair.
Smoking weed back then.
Yeah. No, he was like an aggro guy.
Yeah, he was.
He was anti. Because I remember smoking weed in the back. What the fuck?
Yeah. When
like
I showed up,
day.
I always
You'll
had...
like it one day.
I showed up, I always had weed. And I remember one of the first lectures I got was about how I'm never going to get, you're never going to be motivated to do anything. And then like 3 years later, he was like, I've got the best weed.
Yeah.
I can afford the best weed.
Yeah.
I get the weed that motivates you. I'm like, really? So you broke the system?
Exactly. Well, Joe's thing is like he's a biohacker, right? He's like a Tim Ferriss guy who's right. like the 4-hour body, the 4-hour work week, the 4-hour fucking yeah. weed dealer. He's like he's the guy amazing. Who's like, I've got the indica that's gonna you know help me go to sleep, but if I need to like wake up and get an idea in the middle of the night, I'm just gonna smoke some sativa
yeah.
and drink some mushroom tea. It's gonna be great. I'll be tripping by 6 a.m. but the ideas just flow. That's Joe.
That's like, amazing.
Yeah.
It's
works for him. He makes it work.
It fully works for him. Yeah. And he's amazing. Like he is a machine. I have to say, like, you know, I've become so enamored with what this thing that he's created and what he's done with his career, especially coming out because I just saw him off of News Radio. He was like a sitcom actor, you
yeah.
know, and we were all like grubbing it and no one had any money. And it was like, you know, the folks that, you know, parked in the lot were like a bunch of schmoes. And then like the nice cars drove in. It was Rogan. It was Dice with his caddy. And
yeah,
you know,
I got that in the, Separation, consolation.
Oh,
prize.
Did you? You got
yeah.
the caddy?
Nice. Fleetwood Brome, 1996.
Nice.
Beautiful. Nice. Beautiful. Go ahead.
No. Jeez. Go on.
I remember I used to pull in the lot with it. It was like a boat. Like when I first started doing stand up, that's the car I drove. This yeah. giant
really?
Fleetwood Brome. And they would be like, Jeff Danish and Ryan O'Neill would be like, can you bring your other car? I'm like, other car? Who do you think I am? You want to bring
Why are you
the little
your
boat?
Apartment up
I don't
here.
Have a little boat. I live in this car.
Oh my God. That's beautiful. That's yeah. really, that was a nice gesture on
very
his part.
Sexy. Yeah.
Yeah, he is so thoughtful.
But the 2001, that was still the dead years here, where it
was
wasn't
dead.
That busy.
It was dark. It was dead. It was...
you started working here pre-9/11?
Yeah. So 9/11, actually, we did a show on 9/11. And,
at the store?
That week, that Friday after 9/11. We were all trying to figure out, like... I think we were dark that whole week, you know?
Yeah. No, I think we were closed like one night. I know it's terrible, but I think
was
it was
it
only
one
night.
Well, we did a show. I remember Carlos Mencia and Freddie Soto. And
yeah.
They were like, let's do a benefit show. So we did this main room show, and I was working the door at that show. And there was such an edge, you know? At that time, the Comedy Store already had this darkness to it. It was there was an aggression to it. Everybody was pissed off because we'd be craving our 15 minutes, and then Dice would show up and he'd do 3 hours, or
right.
Griffin would
Eddie
come
Griffin,
in
yeah.
and ruin
yep.
the room.
Yeah.
He would just shred everyone in the room and they'd be pissed, and then we'd get up on stage and be like, so I'm a twin from Philly.
Hey, Monco, calm down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, fuck.
And so Freddie's on stage the Friday after 9/11, and it was a room full of like Mexican gang members. I mean, it was rough night already in an environment where we were all on edge, and somebody starts heckling Freddie. And
oh, I remember
this.
Yes.
And so I, you know, I go over and I go, hey man, you know, you need to calm down. You got to go. And then I go, fuck you, man. And Freddie's like, dude, get him the fuck out of here. I'm like, Freddie, have you looked at me? I'm 5'7", and
yeah.
I'm not a gang member. I'm just a fucking twin from Philly. Yeah. Like,
did you miss the bit?
This, yeah. Like, where are you at, Nick Snotts?
Hello?
And the dude, some other guy comes to my defense, and he goes, hey, just give him a fucking break, man. Like, just shut up and enjoy the show. These two guys get into a fight. It breaks out into a fucking brawl.
I think it's you.
I think it was me. It's the
I
last
think you
time
did it at Mixed Nuts, and now it's at the store.
That's a good point. I've never even considered that,
yep.
Eleanor.
Damn you.
Jesus.
The Catalyst.
Last time I thought it was Mexican gang members.
It's your new nickname,
no.
The Catalyst.
So there were, I remember the story. I wasn't there because I was trying to get to my brother's wedding. Which was
flying.
Yes. We were the first flight out of L.A. Mm. I missed the whole ceremony, just got to the after party.
Nice.
But
it's a good part. Yeah.
Yeah. But wait, so, but I remember this. So the big fight broke out. Now you're security.
Big
in
fight
the main
breaks
room.
Out. I got to break it out. I'm literally dragging people out. Steve's working as a manager that night. He comes in. He starts breaking
Simone,
up the fight.
Can you imagine?
Look. Come on, guys. Let's just all love each other.
So I you know, I'm like, what the I just wanted to do a little fucking stand up. Like, I didn't want to get into a gang altercation. So we end up dragging these guys out. You know, we try to continue on with the show.
Was Chewy here?
Chewy was here.
There you go.
Some of the guys didn't get dragged out ended up in the club after the show. They started another fight, outside the OR. We had to shut down the club that night. I mean, Jesus. It went so hard.
Everyone was
wrong.
On edge.
Everybody was on edge. And you couldn't even do stand up that night. I mean, it was like, you couldn't just get up and go into your routine. It was like, you had to kind of talk about, like, and that was what's interesting about it. There was this truth that was coming out on stage. Like, especially
Fear.
Freddie,
yeah.
Rest in peace. I love that guy. I mean, he had this heart that he said, guys, I mean, we're all in this together. We're going to try to get up and have some laughs. You know, we believe that that's going to heal. All of the proceeds from tonight's show are going to go to the victims of the attacks. You know, we just need to stand together. And then, you know,
a fight break.
Vatos were like, fuck you.
It's not
we're
our
not
country.
Shit, fuck you. That's a sin. Yeah, I remember hearing about it, but I wasn't here for it. But I love that.
Carlos Mencia, he was just taking. All right, so then that guy punched him, so I got to.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Fight moves.
He stole a lot of punchlines that night.
Did he ever get to go on, Carlos?
Carlos did it. It was like. I mean, I forget who was
on
the show.
Come on, fuckers. Yeah.
But it was like Carlos did a little something. Freddie, I just remember Freddie was on stage. I don't remember who.
Do you remember what Mitzi put on the marquee?
No.
She wrote, wow, after 9/11. She just wrote, she made them put up, wow.
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 And I go, you right?
Yeah.
I go, you have to put something else. She's like, just put wow. I can't believe it. Wow. I go, should we put I can't believe it at least? No, wow.
Well,
and it was up there.
Really.
It was up there for a
that's
week.
Brilliant.
What, a week? Wasn't that good? You know?
Yeah, keep it up. People like it.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's
people
no one
are probably
here.
Driving by like, what the fuck?
Now I know where the fucking Red Fox joke came from.
Oh, yeah. She always like, yeah, she always had these like little bizarre jokes. I mean, that wasn't a joke, the wow one, but we were talking about Red Fox one time, and she was like, I wore a Red Fox to his wedding. Get it? I'm like, no, I don't.
What do you mean?
Like, she kept saying, get it. I'm like, I think I got it.
How did you, like, I don't. So Mitzi, my experience with Mitzi.
Yeah.
This is how it went. I have had three experiences with Mitzi,
okay.
in my life. The first time was when I showcased for her.
Okay.
And she made me a non-paid regular.
Nice.
I think that was the term. Is that the term?
Yeah, that's right.
Is
non-paid.
That what it was? It's been a long time.
Yeah.
17
yeah.
years.
Right?
They didn't get rid of non-paid until 2004.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was Ari, Simone, and...
Ren Azizi. Open for Pauly. And Mitzi was there because it was when Sandy was running a show in Palm Springs.
Oh, yeah,
and for whatever reason, Mitzi was mad that Pauly was bringing her comics, but not her paid regular comics. So to punish everyone for them opening for Pauly, she got rid of the non-paid regular.
Oh,
as
okay.
an option. So it's just you're either a regular or
wow.
no one.
Red Fox, get it?
Get it.
She
bizarro.
It was
amazing.
I get passed, I guess, as a non-paid regular. I didn't know what that meant. Apparently it means you get paid, you know,
nothing.
Slave wages, and you don't get your 15-minute spot because Dice shows up and ruins it. But the next time I ran into her was around the club, and I said, thank you.
Okay.
And she goes, you're welcome. Just keep working. And I said, okay, thank you. I will do that. And the next time I saw her, which was like 2 months later, she comes up to me. Nah, it was like probably 6 months later. It was after 9/11. She comes up to me and she goes, who the fuck are you?
Like, always a good feeling.
What are you talking about? I go, Mitzi, I'm Mike Duffy. You made me a non-paid regular like last April. She goes, I don't remember you. You need to
She made you a non-paid or a paid? But like a non-paid would do the belly room, right?
Yeah, I only did. I did the belly room and I did OR a couple times. I never got to do the main room.
Okay.
And I just like worked the cover booth and I worked the door and, you know, I don't. Like,
oh, it was brutal.
So I never got to like. It never paid off for me other than belly room spots.
Right.
Which was cool at the time. And I would look, I was just
what
happy
shows
to
were
have
in the belly room? Like
Can you remember Cindy Amoyal and Your Seat? They had a show together.
Okay. And I know your C, but...
And then I did a
Is Cindy a crazy Jewish lady?
Yes.
Crazy Cindy?
Yes.
Oh, okay. She's still here sometimes.
I only know her as Crazy Cindy.
Right, same.
Yeah, she used to like run some shows, and then that's kind of how I became a producer, because I would, you know, be trading time. I used to run a show at Amagi's, the sushi restaurant,
okay,
at Gower Gulch.
Yeah.
It's over by the where Viacom is now. It's not like a Starbucks or something, but it was a sushi place.
Oh, wow.
And I took it over from, I think it was TK Madison.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The blonde kid.
You remember that guy?
Yeah. He would get like, did you ever work for this guy? He ran a few rooms and he'd be like, okay, man. He had a limp. Right,
he had a limp and he had a toupee.
Yes,
and he had a
really
joke.
Bad blonde toupee.
His opening joke was always, "You know, my dad or my grandfather died in the Holocaust. He fell out of a guard tower, and it went over
classic.
Like a fucking lead
killing,
balloon.
Killing."
Yeah.
And this,
by the way, happy Yom Kippur.
Yeah, happy Yom Kippur, guys.
This is being recorded on Yom Kippur.
But here's my thing: like, he would be so judgmental of comics. This idiot.
Yeah.
TK, and I remember he would be like, well, if you want to go on, you know, you got to be nice to me. You got to do things. I haven't seen you really do well on stage. And I'm like, okay. But I don't remember him ever watching me, but who cares? And then he would say it to other women, mostly. He would, like, talk down. And I'm like, you piece of shit. Now I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then he'd call me randomly and be like, look, I have a spot, but if you don't do well, I can't book you again. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. Fuck you.
He used to...
For no money, he would break my balls.
No money. And, like, he did a lot of bringer shows, and he would charge us to tape our sets. And he'd go up. He'd walk up to you with a... It was a tape. It was...
Right.
You know, like a tiny little, or a VHS. I actually have a VHS that I paid $50 for.
$50?
Yeah, he had a VHS camcorder. And I was like, I need that. This is going to be this is how I get booked.
Tape? Yeah. Send that all over the country.
Yeah, exactly.
Send me a tape.
And he would charge us $50 for a VHS tape.
What a good thing.
And
looking
back, I'm like, I made $25 a night and I paid $10 to park here.
Yeah.
Like, and he would charge us $50 for like an 8-minute set.
It's a great racket.
It was a racket.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, so you took over the show for him.
So I took over
the
show at Amagi's.
How much did you charge for it?
I didn't charge anything. I did a fucking marathon night where I did open mic from 7 to 9.
Okay.
And then I did from 9 to 11, I did like a booked show. And we actually got, you know, some decent comics. You know, Ian Bagg used to do it. Louis Anderson used to do it. We would have, like, Tripoli did it.
Of course.
You know, like, it was a fun night.
Yeah.
And I would do the open mic would be like 3-minute sets, and I just let anybody do it. It was just fun. I was just doing it
help people get stage time.
Yeah.
Too.
Help,
yeah.
And also
yourself.
Trading stage time. And that,
oh, right. So you trade with Crazy
Cindy.
You put
someone else up, and then they put you up.
Yeah, exactly. And it allowed me to, it helped me in my first year and a half of doing stand up to get a ton of stage time. I was doing sets 2 or 3 times a night, like,
supposed
5-6
to do,
nights
yeah.
a week, you know, at a time when I was, you know, I mean, I never evolved past that like, that was my heyday, but
that's what you're supposed to do,
yeah.
technically, and that's not easy to do. That's not easy to get on shows.
No.
Especially when you're starting, just like have the connections with people where they will put you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember driving around, like, doing open mics, even at, like, fucking laundromats. And
oh, yeah.
Terrible shows that, like, when I think back now, I'm just like, I can't believe that's how low I was going.
Yeah.
But, like, I would go to these places, and probably 70% of the time, they wouldn't even put me up.
Yeah.
So then it was just like,
oh,
I lived in Manhattan
awful.
Beach back then, so I would drive all the way up here, and I'd hit up the open mics at the Improv or the Laugh Factory or the Comedy Store, and then I'd be like, oh, I'm going to go hit up these other ones. There was some website, I can't remember what it was, but it had a list of all the open mics.
A lot of them
and
do.
So I would check it out, and I'd be like, okay. So I'd go from there to there to there. And then I would spend 5 hours hitting up 4 open mics
yep.
and not getting up on any of them, or getting up on one maybe for like 4 people.
Brutal.
And it was just like, well, this is what you do, man. Could be worse. You know, I could have a job in Kansas and a family, you know?
It's true, though.
So that's what I would tell myself, just like, no, this is the dream. I'm living it.
You're living the dream. But back then, there wasn't, like, even a lot of rooms. Like, now I feel like there's quality rooms in, like, odd spots
now. Well, but comedy is just more appreciated now than
maybe
it was in that
No
time.
Question. I mean, you know, I lived in Venice, and so I would do like O'Brien's. Jamie Kaler ran a Thursday night show there.
That place.
I would do World Cafe.
I was gonna say, I know World Cafe. Yeah. I used to do Jay Larson. Yep. Someone else had
Jay
that
Lassen.
Show down there.
Lassen. Carl did it a lot. Carl DiGregorio. And so I kind of created a show with Jamie Kaler called Character Comedy, where I would have comics come out and do an entire set in character. So they weren't allowed to do any of their typical set. They weren't allowed to come out as themselves.
Yeah.
And in fact, the second to last time I ever did live comedy was on my birthday, December 6, 2001.
Okay.
I had, Jamie and I asked all the comics to bring two characters. And right before the show started, my buddy who worked at Happy Madison said, "Hey, by the way, I was walking out the door and Adam Sandler goes, 'Hey, where are you going?' And I said, 'I'm going to this comedy show. It's kind of an underground thing. You know, it's called Character Comedy, comics doing characters, you know, as the name suggests.' He goes, 'Oh, I want to go.' So my buddy calls me. He goes, 'Hey, Sandler's coming to the show.' I'm like, 'Fuck.' 'What? Are you serious?' And he goes, 'Why? What's the deal?' And I go, I have these two characters, and one of them is like super, super risky. Like,
I thought you were going to say racist. I was like, yeah.
Well, keep listening.
Okay.
Because the one character was fine. It was this guy named Carlton Lepree. He was like a late night sort of like self-help guru. And his whole shtick was, you can be an LA weatherman because there's no fucking weather here.
Right.
And then, but the other character, remember, 2001, was named Al Qaeda.
Yes.
And I worked at Tales from the Crypt at the time. I was an assistant during the day working at Tales from the Crypt for Joel Silver, Robert Zemeckis, Walter Hill, and David Giler out of Warner Brothers. And I had gone, we were shutting down Tales from the Crypt. So I went to the giant storage facility and I pulled a costume out that was essentially like a tunic, like a Taliban tunic.
Yeah, yeah.
And a giant wig, like a red, white, and blue wig that looked like Marge Simpson hair.
Okay.
And I put a turban around it.
Yes.
And I pulled the turban off and I said, "Hello, I'm Al Qaeda."
Yes.
And I was a defector from Al Qaeda who decided that, like, I just wanted to belong. I was just looking to join a group. And then I found out after the fact that they bombed the World Trade Center and they were part of the whole the whole attack on 9/11. And I defected to the US, but no one would accept me here either. That was the character.
I mean, the depth of this character for
it's
this
amazing,
show,
by the way.
One show is spectacular.
I mean, it's December.
While somebody's getting a macchiato or whatever
exactly.
Of coffee.
Right.
And you put all this work into this character.
Sandler comes out to me. And I knew I wanted to be provocative. I wanted to explore this character as a form of exploration, racism. What did you say, racism? I don't know what the fuck. I mean,
I love
it. It was just a weird thing, and I thought
huge,
you know,
faux pas for that time.
Huge faux pas.
I mean, it's comedy in its very essence. It's going to make people uncomfortable and hopefully laugh.
It was awful. I mean, So Sandler comes up to me. He comes and has drinks with me on my birthday. We go to Barney's Beanery, and he comes up to me and he goes, "Hey, buddy, listen." He goes, "I applaud all of the energy it took to do that." And he goes, "And I'm telling you, there's something really bold, but man, too fucking soon."
Yeah.
Holy
shit. I'm like,
shit.
"Sandler, I didn't know you were going to be here." He goes, "It doesn't matter if I'm here. Everyone else was here."
Yeah.
Right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
There were others here.
There were others in the room. That's
not
the
just
thing
about Sandman.
Yeah. Yeah.
This character offends everybody.
It was a bad choice, but you know what? Fuck everyone.
You know what? Yeah, you made a choice. You stuck by it.
Yeah.
And you did it.
I think Al Qaeda. I'm gonna bring Al Qaeda back.
I think you should revisit Al Qaeda.
I think it would.
I mean, as much as there's nothing I would rather do less than watch comedy, but I would watch Al Qaeda perform all night, every night.
Yeah, exactly. That, I mean, I'm telling you, there's going to be a Comedy Central show, Zaminaj playing Al-Qaeda.
It sounds like a pitch.
I think, oh, shit.
Wait a second.
You guys.
Hello. This guy, he can't stop.
His arm, he's going to have Tommy John surgery after this. This is crazy.
Yeah, so that was my sort of 2001. The whole...
Is that what made you quit stand-up?
I mean, I'm just asking. It was close. It was really close. I quit stand-up because, like I said, I was working at Tales from the Crypt. And so I was actually casting shows during the day. And I had done some auditioning, and it wasn't going well. And I was doing stand-up. And that was going pretty well. I felt pretty comfortable. It felt like I was getting out of it what I wanted. I did a lot of new material every night. I was writing every day.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it to become a stand-up. I did it to find my voice and to find confidence. And I was like wondering if I wanted to be a stand-up. So that was a question for me. It was never like, I want to be a stand-up.
Right.
So 2001 was kind of like, I think about my time here at the store, and it was like a fever dream. Like it was, it was so long ago, and I think about the things that I was going through at the time, but the prevailing memory that I have is the reason I quit stand-up is while I was a producer by day and a comic by night, I wouldn't put me in anything. Like, I was like, that was okay. It. I'm like, you're casting shows, and if you wouldn't cast you, maybe you should give up on that nighttime career.
Yeah.
So that was it. It was entirely about that. It was like a voice in my head said, don't just fucking stop. You're not going to do this for a living.
Make the decision.
Go and be
a producer.
Don't
let the decision be made about you. Yeah.
And so I left, and I had a really good set one night, and I was like, it felt great. And I quit after that. And then I put all that time and energy into creating TV shows.
Did you record that set? That great set?
Nope.
Oh. $50. It can be yours.
TK's limping around somewhere like, I got it. Yeah. I got it.
Is this a DigiBeta?
Where did you do this set? It was at Masterpiece, if you will.
They had a comedy show middle of the week. It was like a Wednesday night at Brennan's on Lincoln in Venice.
Okay. Yeah,
it's like they have turtle races there, which is a great setup.
It's almost Marina Del Rey.
Races?
It's like Marina Del Rey, right off Washington.
Turtle races?
They race turtles
because what's less exciting than turtles racing? Most of the time, they don't even go the direction they're supposed to go.
That's right.
And I only know because I got real drunk there one night and watched turtle racing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm going to go watch that.
It's ridiculous. You have to be really sassed up. Yeah.
But I didn't know there was a bar out here that did it.
No. Mm-mm.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's good.
That's awesome.
Go once and you're fine. You don't need
to. Go once, but that's where you had a killer set. So do you every once in a while visit and have like a glass of bourbon, smoke a cigar? Like, I remember the good old days.
2001, in the good old days of 9/11.
I was in the ash of Al-Qaeda, the greatest character of all time. The towers were still smoldering from that performance.
They were, by the way. I went and visited in like November, right before that for Thanksgiving. And I'm like, oh, this sounds like a great idea. You can still smell the, you know.
The cancer.
Oh my god.
It was such a bad choice.
You know what I think is great though, that you pulled out a stand up. Because that's a hard decision to make.
My mom said the same thing.
Not because of Al-Qaeda, but because of all of us and our ears. But how do you know when? Like, you know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah.
I guess you said you wouldn't cast yourself. Yeah. But like sometimes I'm like, how much longer am I going
to
do this?
Yeah, I'm at that point regularly where I'm like, if I could just figure out a way to do anything else at this point. But you have to have an interest in something else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, both of you are great comics. I saw you in the OR the other night, by the way.
Killer.
Rick and Redick. Eleanor, you're amazing.
Well, yeah, I know.
I love your stuff.
Just kidding.
Yeah, I know.
He was in a show the other night, and I specifically did Eagle Story.
Oh, it was so good.
So just
at the Raw 5, Santino's Raw 5. It was so good.
Oh, dude, you crushed. That was so much fun.
But, and I had never seen you do stand-up. So I didn't realize that. We were friends before that.
I'm doing this Eagle Story to show off, like, just to, not to show up, but like to explain the Philly fans and the mess they are and whatnot.
But the thing is like when I see a great comic, I recognize it. I know that wasn't who I was. You know, I didn't want to put in the 10 years it was going to take. I honestly, the thing that I learned about that was I'm more suited to help other comics get, you know, help with them with their careers.
And developing.
I just did like the Ron Funches comedy special for Comedy Central.
Oh, wow.
You know, we do the Comedy Jam for Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. We're doing a thing for E! Right Now. That
the
stand up
to
here.
The streets. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Which they developed in the Belly Room. It's Justine Marino,
Heidi Heaslet,
Justin Martindale.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Did you ever do it, the show in the Belly Room?
No.
The judge or something?
People don't invite me to do things.
Yes, they do. Like, maybe not that one.
No.
That's like a dance show.
I think people just know.
But Rick, you do all that dancing.
Attitude. I know. Kathy,
you're known
Lewis,
for your dancing. Yeah.
Lewis used to think he was a... Anyway.
She invited me to host a show one time, one of her shows. I'm like, sure. And then right before, she was like, don't do any crowd work. Like, that's what I do.
That's my whole thing. You ever see my Montreal set?
Yeah. So I just went out and did crowd work. And I walked backstage and they're like, what are you doing? Like, this is what I do. I don't understand. If you don't want someone to do crowd work, get someone else to do it. And she's like, you're fine. Just don't do that shit. So I went back out and I did it again.
But you also
I kept
ripped,
making fun of the comics because yeah. they were all... Bringer comics or whatever.
Terrible yeah. comics.
And then, so they fired me after three comics from hosting. And so then I was standing out back talking shit, and one of the other comics heard me and went and told Kathy Marks, yeah, that host that you guys fired is talking shit about your show right now.
Come on.
So to Simone, I think.
Yeah, so yeah. then she came and found me. I heard you was talking shit.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I was. And she was like, what were you saying? I was like, oh, I was just saying all the comics were really shitty and it's an unprofessional show.
Nothing bad. Pretty benign.
But she goes, I don't understand why you can't just do what you do. And I go, that is what I do. I do crowd work. She says, I seen you before you do all that dance. And I looked at Simone, and Simone's like, dying, laughing. I go, what are you talking about? You do all that dancing up there. I seen it. I go, I have no idea who you think I am, but I love that that's what you thought. Like, hey, that's old Slappy Tap Dancer. I'm going to get him to host the show. Just 3 minutes.
So you can get Rick on to dance on your show if you want.
You're dancing.
Yeah, because they're doing it on E! Now. See, that's amazing.
Perfect. And now then me and my wife can both work for the same
network. Wife works for E!
She does? What does your wife do?
She's a writer. She writes for E! Online.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting doing this comedy show for E! I mean, they're actually making a big push into comedy again. They feel like Chelsea Lately went away and they've like lost.
Oh, I thought you meant the Kardashians. That's hilarious.
That is unintentionally hilarious. Hilarious.
Is there any way I could just restart Talk Soup?
Yeah.
Oh. Perfect.
Yeah.
Wait, didn't it move to Netflix?
It did.
No, that was Joel McHale's show.
I'm sorry, but that's the same guy.
Yeah, he got fired basically because he wouldn't stop making fun of the Kardashians.
That's amazing.
That was like the
is that right?
That was like the bulk of his show. The last year was just constant because he turned it into basically they watched reality TV and then he just made fun of it.
But, I kind of like that though.
It was like the peak of Kardashian, so. He would constantly just show clips from them and just talk about how they needed to die and all sorts of stuff.
That's tough. I mean, they're like, they're pretty big over at E. I don't know if you guys have checked.
And Chris Jenner basically went to E and was like, tell him he's got to stop. And they told him he needed to stop doing it. And then he just went.
It's okay to make fun of them.
Of course. You can't tell a comic, like, stop making the joke that is getting all the laughs.
Yeah.
But if you're making fun of them, I understand that. But wishing death, I don't wish death on them. I just, it is silly. Like, I couldn't watch it, but I know girls that watch it. I hope guys don't, but I know girls that watch it on repeat. And I hate reality shows. No offense, but
I don't make reality shows.
Okay, good. But you know what I mean? Like,
I used to. I don't anymore.
Okay, good.
I'm recovering.
But you know when they have to recap everything?
Yeah.
By the time they get done recapping what happened before they go to commercial again, so I'm like, I can't watch. This is insane.
Well,
people are watching ridiculous things, and it just drives me nuts.
That's a symptom of, you know, the executives are not as... savvy, and they're not reverent toward the storytelling on reality TV, so they really note a lot. And one of the things that they do is they watch things over and over again, and they go, you know what? I think we need to make sure that the viewer understands what happened when Kim took her dog to the veterinarian.
So they're saying basically, okay, the people watching are so dumb. They can't remember what happened.
I think sometimes. It's more just
4 seconds prior.
We need to lead it this way if that's the story we want to be telling.
Yeah, it's exactly. They sort
run
of like it's a little bit heavier yeah. handed, and they want to reinforce the story they chose to tell.
Right.
And that, but it's E is there's a new regime there, and
but Talk Soup was a funny show, wasn't it?
Talk Soup was funny even before Joel McHale.
Oh, right, okay. With Greg Kinnear.
Greg Kinnear.
Oh yeah.
And before him, it was. Oh, what's that guy?
But they made fun of everything, like yeah. commercials, yeah. if I remember correctly. Yeah. Okay.
Well, with McHale, it became almost specifically a reality TV thing.
Mm-hmm.
There should be a new one that you do, Talk Soup, but only viral videos, and then you shit on the viral videos.
I like it.
Here's a pitch. Like Hold it. On. Let me warm my
In order
arm
to be
up.
Viral, it only needs three
involved?
Hits.
It's yeah. dancing
three views, and we count that as
that's viral.
My show.
Definitely. If it's infected at least three other people.
My grandma's seen the video. Yeah. That's what I count.
She knows viral when she
line.
Sees it.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think that's a good show. But so you got, when does this come out? When does the E! Show come out?
We don't have a premiere date. It's going to be like first or second quarter of 19. We're shooting the back seven. We shot the first episode about a month ago at Boulevard 3.
There's a lot of great comics on it, a lot of funny. I'm excited about it.
It's so fun. I mean, honestly, like my whole thing is I'm trying to put talent with talent
right.
back on TV.
Right.
I want to. I know, Rick.
Listen, that is not what Hollywood wants right now.
No, I agree. They're looking for lack of talent.
Yeah.
But
lack of talent.
You I thought you said backup.
Like, it's so much easier to own lack of talent.
Yes, definitely.
Because they'll do anything to keep working with
you. You can note the shit out of
that. That's amazing.
But I just feel like comedy is in a really great place right now. And
absolutely.
There's so many talented people. And so I'm trying to focus on providing opportunities for comics, especially up-and-comers who can get paid well for an appearance without burning their material. So
oh,
they
yeah.
can save that material
yes.
so that you know,
make specials.
You guys get,
and, yeah.
yeah, like it takes a long time to build out a 1 hour special, and yet everybody wants these comics to kind of, oh, give me 15 minutes over here, do this. And I feel like if we can sort of, identify opportunities for great comedic voices, put them on shows where they're going to have a blast, showcase in these cases, like, a little bit of extra talent that people didn't know they had, whether it's dancing or singing on the comedy jam, or just
comedy
physical
jam
comedy.
Was great too, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah.
Excellent. And the live show is still killing it.
Still killing it. I feel like it's hard to do what you guys do, and it's hard to get up on stage night after night and, make people laugh, turn a crowd when you need to do that. And that skill is something that actually translates really well to other forms of entertainment. So I'm trying to create a nice, safe place for folks to come in and crush it, have some fun, make some money, get their SAG credits or whatever the hell
right,
it is.
Right, right.
Yeah. And put something on the marquee so that you can go out and
tickets.
Sell tickets
be
on
a comedian,
the road.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's what I'm after.
That's a beautiful thing, but I think it's great that you started
heavily
as a comic.
Too.
Yeah.
Right. And to know what it takes as a comic and what goes into what comics we do.
Yeah. And I've known people who did comedy and were even good at comedy for a while that quit, but I've never heard anyone be like, I just knew there was too much work to put in for what I was going to get out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Like just that, the foresight, I guess, to know, I could be using my time better elsewhere.
Yeah.
Is amazing.
I agree. I'm like, whoa, that's, amazing to me. I'm just still shoveling shit, if you will.
but it's...
Until I figure it out.
But you're on the front lines, and I think that it translates to a lot of different things. I mean, I know sometimes that coming to, the store night after night, and, you kind of might feel like, oh, that, is this the grind, right? But I got to tell you, the confidence, the talent it takes to do that, And to do it here at the store, which is the best club anywhere.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, that's like...
We're a little biased, but I agree.
But I know that in the vacuum of this environment, it's hard to see how much it takes to do what you guys are doing. And I got to tell you, I mean, there are a lot of opportunities out there if you look in the right places and if you, you know, have the sort of like energy to go and try to find it, you know?
Right.
That was the thing. I put all that stand-up energy into creating shows. I mean, I was obsessed with doing stand-up. I was doing it all the time and I was like, I couldn't stop my brain from writing new material. And I just shifted focus and put that toward creating shows. And it's a similar thing because you're working toward essentially a performance in the pitch. I mean,
yeah. Oh, you know, totally.
And you got to go in. You got to go into a shit room where they didn't like the lunch that their assistant ordered for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
They've got some gas, and you're just like, hey, come on, focus on me for a second. And,
yeah.
You know, let me try to create an emotional experience for you.
They've heard 10 pitches they already hate. They're just like, all these people are assholes.
Yeah.
You got to go in there and be like, what about this shiny asshole, though?
Yeah.
So I'm a twin. But that's how it is. It's stand-up, essentially, because I've been in some shitty pitches. I've witnessed some horrible... One of my favorite pitches was at... I probably shouldn't talk about this, but I don't care. It was a long time ago. Dice's house. We had the head of Lionsgate come over, and he was pitching this reality show. And it was myself, his ex-wife, his manager, Wheels.
Wheels Parisi. Anyway, I actually started Lionsgate.
Wait a minute. That's not true at all, Wheels.
No,
I
what I meant was that I've seen a lion at a gate before.
Oh, though. Okay. All right. So we're sitting, and Andrew was pitching the show idea, which was kind of a funny idea. It was a good idea.
Yeah.
He wound up doing Dice out of this, like the Showtime show.
Gotcha.
So this is where the pitch initially started as. And so he's doing it, and he could feel kind of a lull, and so he don't like that. So all of a sudden, he goes into performance mode, and he pulls Wheels outside. And he whispers something to Wheels. Then he comes in. None of us know, but they start this whole outbreak of, you know, we kind of all know our role. So when he starts saying this certain thing, he starts a fight with Wheels. Then I got to chime in. Then there's this fight and that fight, this whole thing going on. And this guy is looking at us like we're crazy. Oh, okay. Ricky will be right back. They're texting him to tell him he has a spot.
Oh, that's amazing.
But this guy is staring at us like, what the fuck is happening right now? And it's major chaos in Andrew's living room. And the guy looked at him and Andrew goes, that's the show. And the guy's like, wait, you guys weren't really fighting and you didn't really get a phone call that you argued with him over and blah, 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 and this whole scenario. And he's like, no, we made it all up. And the guy looked at all of us and he goes, he made that up? And he was terrified. Like, I saw fear in this man's face. And then we were outside and he was like, okay, I get it. Let me think about it, you know? But I think Andrew scared him. Like, we went
of
too
course.
Far.
Yes, that's scary.
And the guy was terrified outside. And then he looked at me and he was like, yeah, that was great. What are you doing with these people? And I go,
he was worried. Yeah. He's concerned.
He goes, you're like Marilyn from the Munsters.
Oh, my God.
Doing? You seem like the only normal one. How are you going to get out of here? Oh, and I go, are you really afraid for me? I go, it's a joke. Like, it was a joke, but Andrew pushed so hard because he felt it going low. Yeah. Andrew's, I've seen him give the best pitches ever.
Of course.
Like, he could sell...
He is
shit. Like,
ridiculously talented.
I'm aware of it, but it was just that one. It was lulling, and then we went overboard,
and we
scared the shit out
Perfect.
Of that guy.
Good.
That guy, like, I've never seen anybody back up to their car out the door, like, yeah, and just keep walking. Like, he almost fell like three times.
Like, I think that went well. This is great. So we got
I'll
a green
talk
light.
To you guys.
Yeah, it's kind of great. My people call your people.
He's like falling down the steps. I'm like, calm down.
So
it's not that bad.
I pitched a show with Dice when
okay.
So
oh, I didn't know that.
It's like 2003. And there was a guy named Michael Green.
Yeah, sure. Don't say it like questionable. Michael Green's a big studio exec.
Okay,
now,
he's a
I
big
think.
Guy. So I guess he was working with Dice at the time.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there's three Michael Greens, and they all started out as agents and managers, and it's really uncomfortable to find who's
okay,
who.
Okay, this guy was like at the firm.
But
I
this
think?
Is Michael Green owned the firm.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So Michael Green, so I randomly meet this guy. We're talking about the fact that I used to work at the store, and I, you know, he goes, oh, I you know, I rep Dice. And I said, well, you know, I've always thought that Dice, you know, if he abandoned the Dice character.
Oh, yeah.
And I know everybody's talked about this, right? Anybody who's seen Dice do his Jerry Lewis impression. Or
which
like,
is great.
It's yeah. amazing. Like, when he's Andrew Silverstein, you've got, isn't that his last name, Silverstein?
Yeah. No, you're right.
When he's got this, like.
Shana Tova.
He's atoning right now, yes, actually, there you go. For his sins and young. But he, you know, I remember working the back door at the store and seeing Dice be himself and seeing him interact with the other comics and having him go into some of his impressions. And I told Michael Green this. I'm like, everybody knows him as Dice. Can you imagine what it will be like when yeah. Dice shows up and he's the guy behind Dice?
The guy behind the guy, yeah.
And he goes, I love that. And I said, do you think that he would be open to that? He goes, definitely. I go, well, listen, if you think he's up for this, here's what I want to do. Let's do a showcase. Let's have Dice come out. We're not going to announce it. I'm going to get a bunch of network executives there. We'll do it in the OR. And Dice will come out and will he do a set where he doesn't do any of the Andrew Dice Clay
Dice Clay stuff? Character. Yeah.
And he goes, done. Consider it done.
I'm
right?
dying because I just know Andrew.
You know this. You know how this goes.
Yeah.
So I get VH1 and Comedy Central and all these different networks. And I'm like, he's going to do, you know, he's going to do something totally unexpected. Nobody's ever seen this version of him. Please come out to the store. It'll be a fun night of comedy and you'll see something that is totally, totally unexected. We sit through a couple comics. It's a good night. Everybody's looking around. They're excited. Sure enough, they announce, you know, hey, all right, guys, you're going to love this next comic. Give it up for Andrew Dice Clay. Dice comes out and he's wearing the jacket and the gloves and the whole thing. I'm like, oh, fuck, this is not good. And he goes, Hickory Dickory Dock. I'm like, fuck, stop it. And I look at Michael Green and he goes, oh, what? Sorry.
Yeah, he can't control him. He couldn't control any of his clients.
Of course. And
he ripped Martin Lawrence, too.
Oh, my God.
He couldn't control a client.
The mass exodus of network executives. It took me 15 years to get them to show up to a showcase again. The last time it happened was at Stand Up to the Streets in the Belly Room. They all showed up finally, and we sold that one.
Thank God.
Thank God.
That's a good one. The Dice being just Andrew, people have tried to sell on our reality show.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
And he hated it.
Of course.
He hated it. I'll tell you why he hated it, because they would make it like real silly shit. Like, right. Hey, let's put a grill in Dice's mouth and make him dress up like a yo cuzzy or whatever. I don't even like, I'm so South Philly. I'm like, yo cuz. Like, that's yeah. my version of hip hop, whatever. But like,
it's good. It's believable.
He got, they put a grill in his mouth and put like a lot of gold chains on him and like a velour suit. Made him, and he was like, what are you guys, who is this?
Yeah.
And I remember his youngest son walked up to him at the time, he was like 10 or 11, and he's like, Dad, what character is that?
Oh,
like,
God.
This is gross. Can we go home? Like, but he hated when they tried to take him out of that character.
See,
that he perfected and loved so much.
I get that. And I think, you know, for me, I'm always trying to go toward the truth of the performer. Mm-hmm. You know, when I see some of the stuff that has happened across reality TV, I remember Minding the Store, you know, that the reality show here. And it was
that
like
a brilliant piece, wasn't it? Oh, brilliant.
You know, the thing is, it's like a lot of that reality TV that was fabricated and sort of like semi-written and all, it just was,
oh yeah, totally,
it was poorly written. Like,
yeah,
like you can't try to do a reality show, you can't do a scripted show on a reality show budget and go, oh no, it's improv. Like, that's not how this works. Writing actually matters. And
totally.
And you know, and I think about the lack of truth in some of those reality experiments, and I understand why folks like Dice would just totally reject it.
Yeah.
For me, you know, it's a great lesson, because of course, like, I did 10 years working in the reality world. You know, I did Wife Swap for ABC, and I did you know, The Secret Millionaire and Hardcore Pawn on True TV. You know, like I did all these crazy reality shows, and they were always sort of. We were always being pushed to like go bigger and crazier and all that stuff, and that
that's what they want. Yeah,
and in some cases it worked.
And pitting people against each other.
Yeah, like a lot of the conflict, and for me that always rang so false that it was like it was an affront to who I am fundamentally.
Yeah.
So now at Ugly Brother, with you know the types of stuff that we do, I mean, we just go toward the truth of who the performers are. Every single time, whenever I'm working with a comic or a chef, or we do like all sorts of music as well, my whole thing is like, what do you want to do? Who do you want to be in this segment? Like, what is the truth of the moment, so that we can go toward that? And that all comes from stand up.
Yeah. Oh, totally. That's right. Yeah. Because when you're working something out, you dig as far down deep as you can to get it as truthful and honest as possible, so that you're in the moment, you're in pushing the narrative you want out there, if you will.
And I think that the more successful you become as a stand-up, the more vulnerable you get.
Oh, yeah.
Like you God, no, shit. Are you? This is good. How are
it's
you?
It's like cutting.
Are you? Is this?
I'm an open wound.
Is this an incision? Okay, I'm going to operate now. So tell me about your family.
I'm fine. I'm a twin. Okay. what if I did your act? That'd be great.
Yeah, exactly. You could, but you'd do it better than
I would. Yeah, we could kick it. No we
question.
Could do it.
No question.
Anyway, well, I hate to close without Rick, but are we in an hour? Oh, look
we're
at
in
him.
An hour.
That's Josh giving me the thumbs.
Josh is like, can we fucking end this? Can we put a comic back on the show next time?
You are a comic, but you're also an inspiration because we feel a lot of people stay in the business too long and we don't want them to.
I know what
kidding.
You mean.
But you know what I mean? Like, honestly, like people are like, sometimes they wait till later. Like, I've been talking to Mike Binder. You know who Mike Binder is?
Yeah.
So Mike's a great comic. He did The Tonight Show. He did a bunch of stuff. And then he got into directing and he got into different aspects.
Yeah.
He never lost that part of him. But he's, like you, creating great things on the other side of the camera, in front of the camera. You know what I'm saying?
Because
he understands it. And I think that's important, you know, to dabble in a little bit of everything.
I agree.
Will.
I think it's important to diversify. I think that, you know, it takes so much to do stand-up comedy, to put yourself on stage every night, to be that vulnerable person. And I think that if comics would expand their minds and apply that to other areas.
Al Madrigal does that.
Yes, exactly.
These people reach out. They do different things. It's good.
It takes a remarkable amount of entrepreneurship. It's you're all self-starters. I mean, it's beyond the scope of sort of normal behavior in the best possible way.
And even Rogan with these podcasts and shit, like that's exactly what he's doing, but in his own, and he built an empire.
He built an empire, and it's what Al and Burr and Kreischer and the Crab Feast guys, like, I just look what you guys are doing here with the Comedy Store podcast, like
trying to keep the Comedy Store stories alive.
Yes.
Like, you know, people, there's a lot of people come through here, make it, don't make it, still in it, whatever.
And this is like, I got to tell you, like, Eleanor, you know, this is such a full circle moment for me to be on this podcast.
I love
with
it.
You. I'm so honored to be on it and to, you know, share these stories. This was a magical part of my story.
It.
And I just want to be helping comics, you know, figure out how to make this their living, figure out how to get everything
figure
out of life that they want.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I've kind of figured it out and how I could use my time as a stand-up comic to, you know, to make a career for myself and make a living. And I feel like I can help other comics do that. And it's hard to do, but, you know, having the experience here at the store and going through those rough times and understanding what it feels like to be on stage, that is something that you just can't teach. You just have to experience it.
It's not teachable. It's not, you know, you can't read it in a book. It's just, you have to experience it.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
You got to get out there and experience it. But I love all the things you're doing. I think it's amazing.
Thanks
for having
me. And you
always have been the nicest guy ever. So we can promote.
Yeah, we've got the Funny Dance Show coming out on
E! What's it called?
It's called The Funny Dance Show.
That's it. Oh, great.
The network named us.
Because it was called something else
in
the live
streets.
Show. Okay. Funny Dance Show.
Funny Dance Show coming out in first or second quarter on E! We've got the Ron Funches Giggle Fit special on Comedy Central.
Ron's so funny. You must watch that.
He's so great. And we have a few other things coming out. We have... We did Eat the World with Emeril Lagasse on Amazon, which you can watch. We
Great.
Won two Emmys for that last year.
That's amazing.
And so we're just trying to make a living, trying to support our families, and trying to work with comics.
You got kids. You got a beautiful little girl. She's got a great name.
Yep, Eleonora. I know.
And what's your other daughter? You have two
Charlotte,
daughters, right? Charlotte.
Yes.
That's beautiful, too.
Oh, my God. I'm just,
better than Eleonora.
I just can't believe the life I have. No, it's great.
No,
Eleonora.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it. Little Eleonora. I'm going to bite her face.
I know. She's got those cheeks.
Does she have little fat cheeks?
Oh, my God.
I saw pictures only.
It.
So
Forget
dang cute.
It.
And Rick's daughter has the fattest little cheeks.
Yeah.
And she's so expressive and ridiculously smart and already telling him off. It's amazing.
Perfect. Oh, my God. That's a thing.
Because he's in the twos.
Oh,
you're out of the twos.
The problem is, like, the twos, this is called the terrible twos, but then you're coming up on being a three-nager, and the three-nagers are fucking assholes.
Really?
They're the worst roommates ever. They literally shit wherever they want.
Okay.
They take take everything you own and break it.
Yeah.
They throw tantrums at the worst possible moments. It's like
you're like, say hello to the president. I don't want to.
It's true. I had a roommate who pissed in the dishwasher one night, and I'd rather have him than my three-nager.
There you go.
Yeah. It's the same experience.
Well, because you know you can run that dishwasher.
Yeah.
And he's tall enough to hit inside the dishwasher.
Yeah, but when you've got your child's shit on your mouth and you don't know how it got there, it's hard to explain.
Is that chocolate?
Yeah. Oh. No, it doesn't taste
so hot.
Either.
All right. Well, you're amazing. Thank you guys for listening to the Comedy Store podcast. I will be in... where am I going? Laugh Factory.
Las Vegas,
October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, I'll be headlining. And then... the following weekend, I'll be there featuring for Dice.
Amazing.
14th, 15th, and 16th. I'm also doing the Belasco Theater, October 11th, 10th, and 11th. I'm not performing, but I'm doing commentary for WOW Women of Wrestling.
Oh,
so
nice.
If you guys want to come out, please hit me up. We need to pack the place. They're filming it for Axe TV. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Axe TV. So I'm just doing the commentary. Maybe I'll get in and punch somebody. Yeah, never.
Oh, my God. Are you going to get in the ring?
I don't know, but I do get jealous when I do the commentary.
It's like me doing like when I go to a stand-up show.
You're like, I could do that.
Yeah.
Or like I see my old rival, like Selena, and I'm like, this bitch is still, I will break her hip. I don't believe.
Oh, my God.
So I get mad because I'm like, she's talking shit. But they let me go off and do whatever I want.
Well, they're smart.
Yeah,
gotta go see Eleanor. She's the best.
Easy Rider is over there doing the commentary. So, wait, where can they find you?
So
Instagram or whatever.
Instagram is at Mike R. Duffy or Mike R. Duffy. Mike R. Duffy. Our company website's uglybro.com.
Uglybro.com.
Yeah, our company's called Ugly Brother. We named it after my brother.
He's the ugly one?
Yeah.
I love it. You're twins, though, right? I'm just trying
fraternal,
to clarify.
Though. Fraternal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Fraternal twins?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I'm 13 minutes older, and I had my own
13
sack.
Minutes? Mother of God.
I know, my poor mother. Yeah.
Not your poor mother, your poor brother.
Well, I did wrap his umbilical cord around his neck.
I
just wanted to be the youngest. I didn't know there was another one in there.
Was he born blue?
He was born short.
Short.
Yeah, like he was like a mini version of me.
No, because my best friend, her little sisters, they called the little one Baby Smurf because her umbilical cord, they didn't know, and it was like 15 minutes.
I don't know. They didn't show him to me.
Oh, okay. No, but, well, the mom saw it.
They never told me that he was blue.
The mom saw it, so they always called her Baby Smurf.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because I bet she was totally blue.
She had the umbilical, whatever. Yeah, umbilical. Yeah. How do you say it? Umbilical cord.
Umbilical cord. It's a U.
Yeah, there you go. Umbilical.
Yeah, so follow me at umbilical.com.
That's because I'm barren, guys. That's why I don't know.
Oh, my God. That's so...
That's what my brother Johnny calls me.
Wow.
It's a term of endearment.
With brothers
anyway,
like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's me, I guess. Thank you.
Josh, do you have anything to promote?
Yeah, I'll be doing Portside in Fort Wayne, Indiana, October 19th. And then at the end of November, I'll be with Jason Rouse. He's filming a special. I'm just doing spots in Toronto, hanging out and sporting them. And then,
so gay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey. And then follow me, Josh96O'Brien, on Twitter and Instagram and all that fun stuff.
Josh, have you ever considered maybe having Al-Qaeda as your opening act?
Yeah, Josh. We kill him all the time.
He's available.
Hey-o.
He's available. I can hook you up.
Josh, come on, welcome back, and thank you for helping. You're the best.
Thank you, Josh.
To be back. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you, guys. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to the podcast, and you can leave comments, good or bad. We don't care. We love negativity.
Just talk. Just talk about us.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you.